Praise the Lord. What a wonderful day. Seems kind of strange to say happy Memorial Day. We talk about memorials, which is generally honoring the people who have died in service. But we do hope you have a happy Memorial Day. We pray that it's going to be a very blessed day for you today. Now, many of you may have seen the notice that there was not going to be an outline today. And because I have been ministering to so many people during the week and still run a full-time business, I didn't think I'd get my outline done, but with the help of my wife and this wonderful staff, who I thank very, very much, there is an outline posted now. You can download it. I do understand that one of the servers is challenged, so you may need to go to abc.com or .org to get it directly if you're just using the other service. And they'll solve those problems and get it up. But there's there for you if you need it. And we thank you all for your understanding that when things help me do this. But you know, I just have to thank the staff who stayed up late last night and edited things. You know, it's not just writing an outline. I put my ideas down. My wife puts them in order and organization. Then they send off somebody else to be edited. And then it goes to somebody else to be put up on the computer. It's not a small detail. So we thank you for all your help in that. And hope everybody's blessed by that. Now, Memorial Day. I want to thank all the veterans. Men, women, whatever. Because of you, we live in this great country that we can still have a service here. Now, we're very grateful for the ones who served in wartime and served in action. But even if you served in support, that's fantastic, because every person on the front line has 30-plus people supporting them between logistics and communications and ammunition support. And it also includes the people who work in the field to make sure they've got the ammunition things they need. And if you served in peacetime, that's great, because you served, we had peace. There are a lot of places that don't like this country. But this country, I'm going to say it right now, is still a Christian country. It's still a country that was formed on Christian values because people believed in Christian values. And Patrick Henry once said, this is a Christian country, and everybody else is welcome here, but it's still a Christian country. And we thank you for that. I had a friend of mine who was in the submarine service. I think they call it the silent service. Only God knows how much safer we are because he was in that ship, that boat. Because people wouldn't attack us because of fear of retaliation. So the veterans everywhere, thank you. And I appreciate it very, very much. And I was in a parking lot the other day. I saw a guy, he had a Vietnam-era veteran thing on the back of his window, and I said, thank you. He said, well, it's for your service. I appreciate it. And he almost had like a tear curl up in his eye, you know. And I don't care if he didn't like the war. I don't care if someone's unpopular. The men and women that served in that did it because they honored their country. They didn't dodge the draft. They did what they were supposed to do. And I, for one, appreciate it. I can disagree with the politics of the war with anybody who wants to, anytime we want to discuss that part for something else. But the bottom line is the people that did their job, we thank you. And this day is to commemorate that. You know. Now, I'm going to start with part of a story that's going to interweave through my sermon today. But I was praying about this. The Lord reminded me that, you know, it was one Memorial Day Sunday where I got up and I was talking to my mom, and she was all upset, just really upset. I go, what's the matter? She goes, oh, your father. I said, my dad. You know, my dad's a nice, great guy. What are you talking about? He goes, last night at the dance hall, they were honoring all the veterans. And he wouldn't go up. And I want him to be honored. I said, Mom, grab a cup of coffee and sit down. We got to talk. So we sat down and says, when it looked like I was going to have to go to Vietnam, my dad is a very quiet, strong, quiet type. He'd come in and say, okay, I'm going to Chicago. I want you to go with me in the further ride. Okay, no problem. 4 hours up and 4 hours back, We had a discussion about what it was like to be in war, because he wanted me to be prepared in case I had to go to Vietnam. He said, I didn't want to have this conversation with you. Looks like I'm going to have this conversation with you. And he told me what it was like to have to kill his first man. And he told me that the way he needed to handle that was he went and did what he had to do for his family and his country. His family, he didn't have a family yet, but he was doing it for his family and his country. And he came home and he threw his medals away and burned his uniform. And that's how he dealt with it. So I said, Mom, he was in some of the toughest fighting in the war. He was in Guadalcanal, Philippines, Iwo Jima, and Okinawa, to name a few. And that's how he had to deal with it. And we'll talk more about that later on. But I want to explain, these people that did that deserve the recognition and thanks because they did something for you. Now, this country is almost 248 years old. And some guy on a front line 247 years ago took a bullet or was shot by a shell so that you would have this freedom today. Okay. 180 years ago, there's a guy on the Civil War lines fighting so you could live in this country today. And this is important to remember because this country gets a lot of flack and a lot of slack and it's not perfect. It's got a long way to go and I agree with that, but it's still the best country in the world. I don't see anybody leaving here to go to China. I see anybody leaving here to go to Iran. But this country, as long as we're here speaking today like we're speaking today for God, still stands for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I for one am honored to be here. And I thank all of you who helped make this possible. Amen? Okay, we also should remember, what did God do for you? You know, your moment to God should remember the sacrifice that Jesus paid by dying at the cross for all mankind to set us free from sin, eternal death. We should see Jesus as our King and the kingdom of heaven. Jesus came to redeem us. If he had to battle the devil, then we have to battle the devil too. He got the victory, so we get the victory. We got the victory for all those guys fought for in those other wars. Jesus fought for us. He took the pain and suffering, just like those guys on the battlefield took the bullets for us. Okay. Jesus died. We have a moral service today to remember what our God did for us and thank him and honor God with our living memorial by saying Jesus because he's more like him. Okay, we are Jesus' living memorial. Now, there are memorials all across the world. There are memorials for good. You can look at Washington, see the Washington, Jefferson, and Lincoln memorials. You got all the presidential libraries that are honoring people. Memorials are there for people who did something special, something unique. There's a World War II memorial in D.C. that my father got to go to before he died to honor the people who did that. There's an Alamo memorial for the people who died there, who fought for you so you could be free today. And yes, there's a memorial called Auschwitz to remember the Jews and what they did to them. It's a sad memorial, but we must never forget the people have paid huge prices in this battle between good and evil. And we remember the people who fought for us, that we could be here today, thanking God. And I always thank Jesus who gave the double, triple, quadruple, ultimate sacrifice to go to that cross for us because he didn't deserve it. Now, if Jesus successfully fought all these demonic entities, you and I can fight them successfully as we'll have victory in every battle we face. That's something we must remember here. We have victory because we are on Jesus' side. Okay? John 3:16, for God so loved and dearly prized the world, this is the Amplified Classic, that he even gave up his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on, repeat that, trust in, clings to, relies on him, shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. It is sad when your loved one passed away, but the Holy Spirit will console you. Now, Karen and I were talking a while back, and we were thinking between the people in the church that have gone to heaven and family members and friends. We've had 17 funerals to deal with since the first of the year. It's been an amazing, unparalleled challenge. Okay, and it's not easy to miss these people. But we must go on. Revelation 21:4, God will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and death shall be no more. There shall be mourning or crying nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. It is comforting to know that Christians who went to heaven to Jesus will see them again one day. Now that's important to remember that. They're just in another place. We will get to see them again. Okay. John 11:25-26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? This is a legacy that ABC is bestowing upon everybody. If you believe, you will not die. You will be here for Jesus' return, and we will never have to die. 2 Corinthians 1:4, Amplified Classic. God who comforts, consoles, encourages us in every trouble, calamity, affliction, so we may be able to comfort, console, and encourage those who are in any kind of trouble or distress. Now, many of you have loved ones who've passed away. We understand that. Are you letting the Holy Spirit comfort you, console you, encourage you, so you can move forward, so you won't stagnate in grief? You know, going back to that day, that wonderful drive with my father. My dad told me I had to deal with grief on the battlefield in World War II. He said one of his buddies died while he was standing right beside him. He realized if he stopped to grieve and did not push forward, he might be the next one taken down by a sniper, killed his buddy. Or somebody else might die if he didn't do his job right. If they all did continue to fight, they would have won. If they all did not continue to fight, they would not have won the battle that eventually won the entire war on every front. Those soldiers did not do their part. If the country would have lost, would we be called Hitlerland? They said the United States of America. You know, there's a movie from the Vietnam era called The Green Berets. John Wayne is in it. And there's a reporter who's trying to report on the war. He's up there in the front lines of the Green Berets, and suddenly a battle breaks out, and the shells come in. And he's standing next to a soldier who gets blown up by a mortar or something. And he says, and the other guys are fighting. They're loading their mortars and doing things. He says, what happens? He's gone. But he was there. He's gone. He's gone. That's all. They can't stop. They can't grieve. They can't do anything. They have to go forward because they're in the middle of the war. The battle is right now. They can't stop. Now, God allowed the Hebrews to grieve for a short period of time. They were expected to go back to their normal lifestyle. Their family could be taken care of. God needs you to carry on so that you and your house or loved ones can be saved. If you don't have blood relatives that are estranged from them, we as the body of Christ are your new family in God. And there are many lives to be affected that you and that only you can minister to because of your unique set of skills God's placed in you that is needed just for those people. Let's realize how much God needs us to help get everyone ready so they can make it too. The legacy, the memorial, is to live and not die. Let me repeat that. Our legacy, ABC's legacy, is to get as many people in the world that we can to live and not die. And we're going to do a lot of fighting in the spirit to help these people get there. John 18:36, Jesus answered, my kingdom, kingship, royal power, belongs not to this world. Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things that I have been commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Now, wars are challenging things. And just like the guys who were in World War II, they didn't want to go to war. But they were born in a time when there was a war. And unfortunately, because Adam fell, we have a war. Jesus has won the war, but the fighting still goes on until Jesus comes back for the second time. Now, here's the important thing. You must go forward to do your part. Jesus has given you, us, all authority to trample on demons, devils, and evil spirits. We must be fearless in doing this. Those demon devils and evil spirits will run from you when they see your authority. In ancient Rome, when the Roman soldiers showed up, people ran. They were tough. They were trained. They were very good at what they did. If you do what ABC is telling you to do, you will be spiritually tough, spiritually trained, and the demons will run from you. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and they will flee from you. There's nowhere in there where it says it's going to be easy. But as we train ourselves, and we got all the training, all the possibilities that we need to go for, and we're constantly evolving and fine-tuning and making it better, getting ready for the end times, we can go forward, defeating the enemy, being the lighthouse to people, bring more people into the kingdom who want to learn how they can also defeat the enemy. Now, we go forward without fear. Must resist being offended. Must resist any unforgiveness. And stay composed continually in the fruit of the Spirit. Because we know that we know that we know that we are the victors. Now, a lot of people are waiting for Jesus to come back. They're putting themselves into little caves and say, well, when Jesus comes back, it's like, that's not what we're told to do. We're told to take dominion on this earth. We are told to go into all the nations and make disciples of men. Now we're doing a lot through the internet and doing what we can do, but we must still do our part. Jesus is waiting for us to make it ready for him to come back. And he's not going to come back until we've done our part. Okay? Colossians 2:15, God disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in the cross. Okay. Honor God with your memorial. Psalm 105:1. I'll give thanks to the Lord. Part of honoring God with your memorial is giving thanks to the Lord for what he's done for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18-21. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstance may be thankful and give thanks. For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer, the mediator of that will. Do not quench, suppress, or subdue the Holy Spirit. Now here's something to repeat again. Do not quench, suppress, or subdue the Holy Spirit. We're all baptized in the Spirit. We all have the Holy Spirit inside of us. As he is leading us and guiding us, we must do that. We can't, oh no, we can't do that, Lord. No. He's telling you what to do. He expects you to do it as he's inside of you. And we must go forward with boldness and confidence that with the Holy Spirit on our side, we will not be defeated. I did not say it would be easy. But you will have the greatest victories over the biggest challenges. 1 Thessalonians 5:20, do not spurn the gifts and utterance of the prophets. Do not depreciate prophetic revelations, nor despise inspired instruction or exhortation or warning. But test and prove all things until you can recognize what is good. To that hold fast. Joshua 4:1-9. God appreciates when someone makes a memorial to him like Joshua did As a commemoration of gratitude, as a reminder of the memories, Joshua honored God with 12 memorial stones set in the Jordan River. A memorial is important not only to jog your own memory, but to leave a legacy for your children, their children, and all your descendants to come. It reminds them to prioritize honoring God, that they too may receive God's blessings. They honor God with their memorials as well. Now, you can look through the Old Testament and see where the Hebrews were constantly going to God, falling away from God, going to God, falling away from God. You saw what happened. When they were with God, they were winning. When they got away from God, horrible things happened to them. We use these memorials to remember to stay with God and keep Him first in all things. Now, here's the story of the 12 memorial stones found in Joshua 4, 1 through 9. And it came to pass, when all the people completely crossed over the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, and out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm, you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Now, I doubt they picked itty-bitty stones. Okay? They're honoring their God. I got a feeling it wasn't one person. I think they got several people, and they got the biggest stone they could to honor God, and they trudged that thing through to put down for memorial for God. You are God's memorial right now today. You are the living, breathing, Spirit-filled person. You're God's greatest creation of all time. And you're not to cower from some demon or threat of some demonic challenge, because you have the authority, you have the boldness, and you stand firm. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe, and Joshua said, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. Each would take a stone upon his shoulder, for the number of tribes of the children of Israel. That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? And shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant, and when it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. The memorial so that the children remember that God did something special. And they should remember that. And too often we get flippant about things that have happened and not remember the sacrifice that went through and what God has done for us, that we could still be here today in this country. You look back at World War II, and I know I'm a World War II history buff, but you look back at the things that happened miraculously for us to win that war. It was nothing but God that could have caused that. Small example. Battle of Midway, the turning point in the Pacific. We destroyed four of the Japanese aircraft carriers. In doing so, we basically controlled the seas, which helped us control the rest of the war. One Japanese plane, scout plane, that spotted our fleet, its radio miraculously didn't work. He couldn't report back to Japan, the Japanese fleet, where our fleet was. That's a miracle. Had they known we were, they could counterattack. They would have waited for our planes to come. But they didn't, because that plane couldn't send a signal. God is doing something in your life right now. It may seem really small on the surface, but have really huge consequences at the end. And thank Him for it. Remember, there's no small things with God. He's doing everything for a purpose. But we still have to do our part. Okay? And the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoke to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. Remember what God's done for you. Don't ever forget it. John 2:22. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said to them, and they believed the scripture of the word which Jesus had said. 1 Corinthians 11:24 to 28. Most importantly, the gospel is a revelation of God's greatest act of salvation. I repeat it to you. God's greatest act of salvation. Your salvation is God's greatest act. The fact that you have dedicated yourself, given your life to Him, you become saved by Jesus Christ, is the greatest act God has ever done. When you look at the universe and all the stars and the galaxies and all the things, He considers your salvation the greatest act. Because you did out of your own free will, out of your love for God. This memory is demonstrated at the Last Supper, reminding each believer that the atoning work of Christ as we take communion, in addition, remembers what Jesus did for you and for me at the cross. You honor God with your memorial when you learn to have dominion over your body, sickness, and the works of the devil. God gave dominion to you. Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every living creature that moves upon the earth. Okay. You have that dominion. Jesus gave it to you. God gave it to Adam. The devil stole it. Jesus took it back and gave it to you. Now, whatever your challenges are, ask God how to solve the challenge, and then go do it. I don't care if it's physical. I don't care if somebody's in stage 7 cancer challenge. It doesn't matter. Take dominion. Okay? Yes, we've all fought battles and lost. I get that. But now as we sit here today, stand here today, we recognize the fact that we have dominion over everything. And we're going to continue taking dominion to establish ourselves as a living memorial for our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Romans 16:20. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, be with you. Crush Satan under your feet. Galatians 2:26. And he who overcomes is victorious. He obeys my commands to the very end, doing the works that please me. I will give him authority and power over the nations. Okay, now, if you're obeying God's command, you have authority and power here on earth. You're saved. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. Use what God has given you. Okay. Revelation 21:7. He who is victorious shall inherit all these things. Now, the key word here is victorious. You're not victorious unless you've got a challenge. When you're victorious over the challenge, then you're awarded all these things. And I will be God to him, and he will be my son or daughter. Okay? Today is a fantastic day. Today is a day we remember all of our people that did so much for us. And we thank them for that. We also remember what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross. And we thank them for that. But in doing so, just the Revolutionary War, they gave us freedom. In the Civil War, they freed the slaves. And in World War II, they stopped the most horrific thing to ever attack this world yet. We are now on a precipice to get ready for Christ coming back and to take dominion and to show people that they don't need to be afraid. I don't care what the world looks like. It doesn't matter. We are victorious because we have Christ inside of us. We have the God inside of us, and he leads us and guides us, and there is nothing, I mean nothing, that can stop us. And my goal today is to encourage you that yes, we've all lost people, and it's sad, but it's time to get back up and get ready for the fight that's coming. We haven't got time to mourn anymore. They're gone. They're in heaven. They're in a better place. They're dancing on the streets of gold. But we're here, right now. There's an enemy who's looking who he can devour. And our goal is to not be devoured and show other people they don't need to be devoured because they have the authority to in Jesus Christ. So today, continue honoring God with your living memorial to fulfill your destiny as an ambassador of heaven, as a good Christian soldier, fighting the good fight of faith, having victory over every battle, and showing others how to do that too. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, praise the Lord. And I hope everybody does have a happy Memorial Day weekend. Have some fun, have some fellowship, have some good times. Now let's honor our Lord with communion. Everybody do follow me to USP, please. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm not aware of any sins. In the name of Jesus, thank you for cleansing me of all unrighteousness. According to 1 John 1:9. Praise the Lord. Okay, repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, as we come to receive this Holy Communion, we remember that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that the Last Supper reminds each of us, believing of the atoning work of Jesus Christ, as we take communion. We do this in remembrance of what Jesus did for us at the cross. Now partake the body. Okay. I'm going to speak now and tell you when to join me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. Now repeat after me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for your blood that was shed for us. We also thank you, Lord, that as we drink the blood of Jesus, we honor God with our living memorial today, remembering the redeeming sacrifice Jesus made for us. Amen. We take the cup of blessing, doing this in remembrance of you, Lord. Okay, excellent. Let's show our 20 affirmations of 1 Peter 2:24. Be ready. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. One more. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. As we pray this, we also include our family and loved ones as well. In Jesus' name.